Soon the familiar tingle begins. It is but a halting trickle at first, but it grows to a hum, and then a racing whoosh that makes every part of me come alive. The force of it blows my hair back from my face with its warm breath. When I look, the door of light is there, waiting. "You did it, Gemma," Felicity says, looking relieved. "No time for congratulations," I say. "Go." I open the door, and we race through nearly in a clump, just as the trackers break through the east wing doors. They howl, and it makes my blood turn cold. "Gemma!" Anne shouts. "Close now!" I call on the magic once again, and thank goodness it doesn't fail me. As the door of light disappears, the last thing I see is the rider in his long, tattered robe, his teeth bared in a chilling snarl. "Rot in hell, you miserable beast!" I pant.
"It's already in hell. We have to keep hell from getting closer,"
Kartik says, pulling me on. We run into the realms as fast as we can. "We don't have long. They'll get through the other way. We must go to the garden and find Gorgon," I say, trying to catch my breath. My lungs are on fire.
"Wait," Kartik says. "We don't know what we'll find there. Perhaps I should run ahead to see."
"Agreed," I say. I would carry on, but there is truth to what he says, and I can scarcely breathe. Corsets were not meant for running.
"I'll go with you, mate,"
Falson says, looking around in wonder. Grudgingly, Kartik nods, and the two of them run ahead. Exhausted and peevish, we sit and wait, hiding under the cover of a large rock. Anne hasn't left the comfort of Felicity's side. It is tenuous comfort, but she craves it. Weary from the chase, I settle myself on the ground and stare out at the bleeding horizon.
"Why did you not tell us you'd seen such things?"
MacLeady says, gasping for breath. But it is a rhetorical question. She knows why. Her dark hair is half free of its bindings. It blows wild in the gusty wind.
"We created order out of chaos. We made beauty and shaped history. We kept the magic of the realm safe in our grasp. How has it come to this?"
"You've not kept it safe. You've kept it to yourselves." She shakes her head to dismiss the thought.
"Gemma, you may still use the power for much good, with us to help you."
"And what, pray, have you done to better the lot of others?" I ask. "You call each other sisters, but are we not all sisters? The seamstress ruining her eyesight to keep her children in porridge, the suffragists fighting for the vote, the girls younger than I who would ask for a living wage, whose working conditions are so deplorable they were locked in a burning factory. They could make use of your precious help." She holds her head high.
"We would have done so, in time."
I snort in disgust. It is daunting to be a woman in any world. What good does our power do us when it must be kept secret?
"You would prefer bold voices to illusion?"
"Yes." Miss MacLeady sighs.
"We may shape the course of that struggle, but first we must secure our power inside the realms."
"There will never be security here. Everywhere I turn, something new crawls up from the very rocks, grappling for this power. No one can remember where the magic came from or why. They only want to possess it. I am sick of it, sick to my very bones, do you hear?"
"Yes,"
she says solemnly.
"And yet it is so very hard to let it go, isn't it?"
She is right. Even now, knowing what I do, seeing what I have seen, I want it still. Miss MacLeady grips my arm. Her face is hard.
"Gemma, you must safeguard the magic at all costs. That is our only concern. Many have fought and died to protect it over the years."
I shake my head. "Where does it end?" The men return from their lookout. Kartik's face is grim.
"They've been to the garden."
"What do you mean?"
"It's gone,"
he says.